watching, every eye up front, and no talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. And remember, if you do have a question, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. We have now come to chapter 4 in Daniel, which I think is one of the most unique chapters in the Word of God. For the chapter 4 of Daniel is the personal testimony of the man Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells how he came to know God in a personal way. When he did that, he wanted to be sure that everyone in his kingdom, from every tongue and language, that they would understand who his God is. And those opening verses really lift the Lord up on high as he talks about the Lord God who ruleth over all things and is great in so many ways. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar wanted the news spread throughout the kingdom that he came to know God as his own personal God. Now, that reminds me of Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33, that says this. It says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, I also will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Therefore, we often ask people who want to get saved to come forth so that we can talk with them and pray with them. You don't need an individual to pray with when you receive Christ as Savior. But when you do receive Christ as Savior, if you've ever had that experience in your life, then you should share that good news with others. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted everyone to know. And I trust that you will feel that way too. If you belong to the Lord, that you're not ashamed of him, and that you're willing to testify to those that you come in contact with, school or at work or at play, whatever you do, that you might share about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, as you found out so far in our lessons, that God spoke to him the first time when he was brought into the, when Daniel was brought into his presence. For you'll remember that he had a dream and he forgot it. He wanted to know what the dream was as well as what it meant. Well, the astrologers, the magicians, and the wise men that was in his court couldn't do it because, you see, Satan doesn't know what's in the future. But Daniel was able to tell him the dream and the interpretation of it. And when he was finished, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that Daniel's God was a God of knowledge. He recognized that. And then we find out that afterwards, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a burning fiery furnace because they would not bow down to his image that he erected. Then he found out because they didn't burn. No, they didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't burn at all in that fiery furnace. And we find out that he recognized that their God was a God of great power, and he blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is the same God of Daniel's. Now, you see, a person can do that. You may come to the point of recognizing that Jesus Christ is a God. You might even come to the point where you might bless God, and that you might even do like Nebuchadnezzar did and say that no one should speak against that God, but yet not come to know God in a personal way. And so it was with Nebuchadnezzar. But in today's lesson, in chapter 4, we find out how that God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar the third time. Oh, how good that is that God speaks to us often. But I think of that verse in Genesis chapter 6 where it says, "The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Now, God has given some of you people in this room not only three times where the Spirit of God has spoken of you and spoken to you and convicted you of your sin. He has spoken to you many times, but you have never come to the point of putting your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have never taken the gift of salvation. And I want to say this morning, you need to do that before it's too late. Well, the third time that God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar is when he spoke to him again in a dream. And after the dream was over with, why, Nebuchadnezzar was greatly troubled. He had no peace. I think of that verse in Isaiah chapter 57 that we read in the sword drill. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." But the book of Isaiah tells us, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And then those words of John chapter 14, where it says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." But he was afraid. He was really afraid because of the dream that he had. And this time he could remember it. So he called for his wise men, his magicians, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and he brought them all before him, and he told them the dream. He dreamt about a tree. And when he told them the dream, they heard it, but they couldn't interpret it. They didn't know what the dream meant. You know, we read that verse in Corinthians where it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Yes. They didn't understand the dream at all. And so what we find that Nebuchadnezzar did is he called for Daniel. Now, I don't understand why he didn't call for Daniel to begin with. He knew that Daniel was able to be in contact with his God. He knew that Daniel's God revealed secrets. But finally, Daniel was brought before him, and he said to him, "My wise men, my magicians, my astrologers, the Chaldeans, they cannot interpret my dream, and this is what I dreamt. I dreamt that I saw a great big tree, and the tree reached into the heavens so that the leaves and the branches stretched all across the heavens. Yes, and under my tree, why, there was all kinds of animals and wild beasts and tame beasts. And there the tree had fair leaves, and in the tree there was abundance of fruit. And not only was that in the tree, but there were all kinds of birds that lodged in the tree as well. Then, lo and behold, I heard a voice from heaven, and a watcher came, and this watcher came and said, cut down the tree, cut off the branches, let the leaves fall, let the fruit be scattered, and let the beast and the animals that are under the tree be gone as well. And then, let dew fall upon it for 7 years. Leave a stump with the roots in the ground. And let him
be as a beast of the field, yes, and eat grass like oxen. Daniel listened to the dream. And when Daniel listened to the dream, for a whole hour, he was troubled about what he heard. And the king said to him, O Daniel, be not troubled by what you have heard of the dream or what the dream means, but tell me the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel responded and said, O king, that this dream were for your enemies and for those that hate you. For you see, O king, you are the tree. For God has given you great power and glory and majesty, so that your branches have gone all over the world, and all are under you and under your control. There's meat for all to eat, and there is a very fair place in your country. But, O king, it is God who has given you that throne. But because you have not recognized who God was or let God get the glory, what has happened is that a watcher or an angel from the Lord has been sent down to cut down the tree. Yes, and all that will be left will be just the stump and the roots that go in the ground. 7 years, O king, are going to pass by, and the dew is going to fall upon that tree. And you will be like a wild animal of the field. And what you will do is you will eat grass like oxen. And what will happen to you is your hair will begin to grow, and it will be like the feathers. Yes, it will be like the feathers of a bird and like the claws of a bird. Yes, because you have not taken note that God is ruler of all. And so Daniel was very bold as he spoke to the king and told him now was the time to get right with God, to confess his sin and come to know God, and then also to show that he belonged to the Lord by giving to the poor. But you know, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen to Daniel, and the time passed by. Oh, as I said, it says in Genesis chapter 6 that his spirit will not always strive with man. He gave Nebuchadnezzar plenty of time to confess his sin, but he didn't. He didn't get right with God. And so we find that a whole year passed by. Someone might say, well, how come? Oh, listen, I want to tell you that the Word of God says that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants you to come to know for sure that you have your sins forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. I'm reminded, too, of that portion of Scripture in Peter where it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of creation. This they willfully are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing in the water and out of the water. Yes, and the world that then was, being overflowed by water, perished. so that the same heavens and the earth which are now are kept in store, reserved unto fire for the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Yes, people mock the things of God. And so at the end of the 12 months, we find that Nebuchadnezzar, what he was doing is he was walking in his palace. And as he walked in his palace, he was boasting. He was bragging about all that he had. And he was taking the credit all for himself. Remember, it was God that gave him the land, not only of Judah, but of all the other nations as well. But here was Nebuchadnezzar bragging and boasting of what he had done. The book tells us, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit, yes, the Lord will honor those who walk in pride. God is able to abase. And then we read, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Remember the words of Psalms 37, where it also says this, I saw the wicked in great power spreading themselves like a green bay tree. That's just the way it was with Nebuchadnezzar. And then it tells us also in Psalms 49, where it says that those who have good understanding that God has given to, and they do not recognize God, yes, God will make them like the beast of the field. And so we find that as he was bragging and boasting about all that he had, all of a sudden the voice of God spoke. And when the voice of God spoke, Nebuchadnezzar was cast out of his palace. Yes, and when he was driven out of the palace, why, he became just like God said. He became a wild man. He became insane. He didn't even know what he was doing as he was cast out of that palace, and there he was like an animal. And as an animal, he went about, yes, eating grass like the oxen eat. And not only did he do that, but his hair began to grow like the eagles, and his claws, or his fingers, like claws of a bird. And there he was for 7 years. The wet dew went upon him. Here was a man for 7 years, was like an animal. A man that had everything that this world could offer. But at the end of the 7 years, it says this, that this man, Nebuchadnezzar, he finally, pardon me, he finally looked up. And when he looked up, and recognized that God was the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth, God restored him. His mind was clear once again. And when God restored him, what a wonderful thing took place. Why, Nebuchadnezzar was able to sit on the throne again. And he had his right mind. You know, you're out of your mind if you don't come to know Christ. But I like that verse where it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You're in your right mind when you come to know the Lord. And our opening hymn has been, look and live. Look and live. And we sang that song also this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, if you've never done that, that you might turn to Him and come to know Christ as your personal God and Savior.
Well, when he was restored, not only did he get his kingdom back, but the beautiful thing is this, that Nebuchadnezzar, he also had people come to him for counsel. Yes, once again, the people trusted him, and he wanted everyone to know that he had come to know the Lord. Now, as I shared with you before, I want to say again that as the times of the Gentiles began, we have the time of when the children of Israel were taken into captivity and led away into all nations, as Luke 21:24 tells us. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But at the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, remember, there was an image. So there will be at the end of the times of the Gentiles. At the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, we have Nebuchadnezzar who becomes like a beast. At the end of the times of the Gentiles, we have that man that sits on the throne, known as the beast. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come until that man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showeth himself to be God. So at the end of the times of the Gentiles, we're going to have a man that is going to be called the beast. But before that happens, you see, once again, a great event is going to take place. And I want to share with you this again, that before all these troubles came upon Nebuchadnezzar, he was warned. Yes, he was warned of God, just like you people have been warned as to what is coming to pass. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to come with a shout. And every fellow and girl and man and woman who knows Jesus Christ as Savior is going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And today you need to ask yourself, are you sure? When that trumpet sounds, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. This is going to be the end of the times, this is going to be the end of the fullness of the Gentiles when this event takes place. Yes, before that man is going to sit on the throne as the beast, this event is going to take place. And you have been warned. And once again, I'm warning you today. There could be some of you young people right here or the older ones that you're not sure that when the Lord comes with that shout, that you're going to be caught up to meet him. Oh, if you're not sure, you stay behind and make sure today. Because you see, when this event takes place, only those who know Jesus Christ as Savior are going to be caught up to meet him. The rest will be left behind. Now, last week, I mentioned to you that during the great tribulation period, when that beast sits on the throne, that if you refuse to take the mark, you will find out that you will be killed. Just like when they refused to take and bow down to that image that Nebuchadnezzar set up, they were cast into a fiery burning furnace.
But during that time of the tribulation period, there are going to be those who will be a good testimony for the Lord. They will refuse to take that mark. And I quoted that portion to you where those who refused to do that they were going to sit and reign with him for 1,000 years. Yes, and they would be priests of God and priests of Christ, as we read in Revelation chapter 20. Also, you'll remember that last week I quoted to you Zechariah chapter 13, where it says there that in all the land, saith the Lord, 2/3 thereof shall be cut off and die, and 1/3 shall remain, and 1/3 shall be left and remain. And the third part, the Lord said, I will bring through the fire and try them as silver is tried. Yes, and they shall be tried as gold is tried. And they shall call upon me, and I will hear them. And I will say, this is my people, and they will say, the Lord, he is our God. It's really tremendous when you stop to think of those who are willing to suffer all the persecution and are willing to live for God. These people will do that. And during that time, many will die. Today, we don't suffer here in the United States like they are in some parts of the world. But we're ashamed to speak up for the Lord. But here we're going to find that there's going to be people who will speak for the Lord. Now for 42 months of that time of the Great Tribulation period, God will raise up 2 men who will be witnesses, faithful witnesses. Now there's great speculation of who these witnesses are, these two. It really doesn't make a lot of difference who they are. The thing that's important is that they will be faithful and witness for the Lord. My personal opinion, and I could be wrong, or I could be half right, I don't know, but my opinion would be that it would be Elijah and Enoch, although it may not be those two. It could be others. It makes no difference, but these two that God raises up will have power, great power, as they witness for the Lord. And you're going to find out that as these two witness for the Lord, there are going to be the people who will be against them. They're not going to want to hear what they have to say. No, they'll be against them just like they were against the Lord. And so we find that these two will be very faithful, and if there's someone who tries to hurt them in some way, these two have been given special powers. And the powers that they have been given are fantastic. Because if someone tries to do something against them, they can spit fire out of their mouth. Yes. Not only will they be able to do that, but they have the power to shut the heavens so that it will not rain and that there will be famine upon the earth. Not only that, these two witnesses will have great power so that they can turn the water into blood. And besides that, they'll be able to do all different kinds of plagues against anyone who tries to hurt them for witnessing for the Lord. God will be with these two men in a special way. Then the word of God says, that when their testimony is finished, we don't know when our testimony is going to be over with. We don't know how long we're going to be able to testify for the Lord. But the Word of God says when their testimony is finished, then the beast that ascendeth from the bottomless pit shall declare war against them and shall overtake them and kill them. Yes, they'll come against them. And here we will find that under the influence of the beast, they will come upon them and they'll attack these men and they'll kill them. There they will be. Yes? And it says that their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then they which are of the people and the kindreds and the tongues of the nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Yes, they're going to see it. Now, it's a remarkable thing that throughout the world it's going to be seen. You know, at one time in life, when my parents were alive even, which wasn't that long ago, they couldn't understand how that everybody in the world would see an event like this. Well, you kids can understand that because you're living in a different age where today we know what's going on within minutes after, and we can have it televised so that you know what takes place throughout the world. Yes, today you have that privilege of seeing everything that goes on. But here you see, throughout the world, they are going to see their dead bodies lay in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. And then it tells us this, that after that, they shall see their dead bodies lie on the street for 3.5 days. And then the people that dwell on the earth shall rejoice and make merry. Why, they're going to be absolutely thrilled that these two men lay dead on the streets. They're going to see it. And they'll be rejoicing over the fact that they're dead. Just like there were many people who rejoiced over the fact that the Lord Jesus died. They felt they were finished with him. And that's how these people will be. There's going to be a great celebration throughout the world because these two men who testified for the Lord were lying dead on the street. Yes. Then it says, they that dwelt on the earth will rejoice and make merry and send gifts one to another, because these two men who bore testimony, they didn't like it all. And because of what they did, they're going to rejoice and send gifts one to another. It's going to be a great day of rejoicing because they're finished with them. There's people today that don't want to hear the Word of God. And when a Christian dies today in many places, you will find that people rejoice. They give thanks because they think now they don't have to deal with the problem. Oh, but my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He lives forever. And then we find that after 3 days and a half, that the Spirit of life from God came into them and they stood upon their feet. These two men were raised up and they stood upon their feet. What a shock it was to the people as they saw this. Yes, throughout the world, they saw that these two men arose. And then they heard a great voice saying to them, "Come up hither." And they watched them as they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. They saw it. They saw these two men arise. But the sad part about it is, they didn't change their ways. Think what God did for them. God allowed them to see someone raised from the dead and then ascend to heaven, but these people didn't even change their attitudes. Oh, they went on in their sinful, rebellious ways. Do you know what it says in Romans 10 and 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. People throughout the world believe that there was one who lived by the name of Jesus. There are people who believe that this one died on a cross. But the problem that many people have is that they do not believe that he arose from the dead and he's living today. I want to tell you, he's alive. Oh, you may kill the Christians. You may get rid of them and rejoice. But someday, you're going to have to stand before him. I wonder, are you ready for when this event takes place? If you're not sure, today would be the day to make sure. And if you are sure, then you need to confess it to someone. Because the Word says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, I will also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Every eye closed and head bowed. Again, Heavenly Father, we just bow in your presence and how I just rejoice for the fact that you're alive. And I pray that this morning there might be someone here who has been spoken to by the Spirit of God many times, that they have never yet put their trust in the Lord, but will do it today. We thank you for good Nebuchadnezzar, who will be in heaven because of the fact that he came to know you in a personal way. Bless us now as we separate, and we ask thy blessing upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lights are on, and you're dismissed. I'll be up front for a short while if someone would like to talk with me.